oye a mí?
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Chair, I thought it is proper that I start by offering condolences to the committee on the passing of Honourable Joyce Maluleke. We had worked with the Honourable Member since we had started in this committee in the 6th administration. I think she was a dedicated and a committed member of Parliament. She served the country well, and I would think that there is a great amount of grief in the committee for her loss. May it be easy for her family and for the committee members in this difficult time, and may it be easy for everybody in the country and the world who is suffering from the pandemic. Chairperson, today we are presenting the quarter one report for 21-22 and the quarter four report for 2020-2021. We will provide a quick context to the report. I'll just do a reflection on Youth Month and Youth Day. We'll provide progress on the Presidential Youth Employment Intervention. We'll then take the committee through the quarterly performance reports as well as the quarterly financial information, and then we'll take questions. If we look at the context to the report today, I think we know that South Africa has spent the majority of the month of July on COVID alert level 4. This has economic implications for the country, particularly for industries like hospitality, but it has helped the country to manage the rate of infection and hospital admissions. We also must reflect on the riots, the protests and the looting, which had major economic implications for the country, particularly in the KwaZulu-Natal province. Although these events can be viewed from multiple dimensions, we know that youth unemployment continues to play a significant role in the marginalization of young people and the inequality in South Africa. We do welcome the reintroduction of the Social Relief of Distress Grant, as it provides benefit, or a lot of benefit, to young people. We are currently undertaking a research study to understand how young people utilize the social distress of relief grant, and we'll present our findings to the committee in the next sitting. In the third wave, the NYD reported approximately 58 cases of COVID-19, and unfortunately the first two deaths of our employees from COVID. We implemented a work from home policy from the 1st of July to the 23rd of July, but since all our offices have reopened on a rotational basis. We are encouraging all employees to get vaccinated in line with the vaccination strategy of the country, and we're also encouraging all young people to get vaccinated. The Auditor General has completed their audit for the NYDA for 2020-2021. The audit outcome remains clean for a seventh consecutive year. The AG also conducted special audits on our PPE expenditure and our youth micro-enterprise relief fund, which was specific COVID-19 expenditure, and no findings were raised. The National Treasury has allocated 11 billion rand for employment programs to address the unemployment crisis. Of this, 430 million has been allocated to the NYDA, of which we welcome. 400 million has been allocated to the youth service program to support 30,000 young people, while 30 million has been allocated to the NYDA grant program. I believe the President will also provide a more detailed update on the economic recovery and reconstruction plan to Parliament this coming Friday. In terms of Youth Month and Youth Day, this year Youth Month was celebrated under the theme of the Year of Charlotte Makreke, Growing Youth Employment for an Inclusive and a Transformed Society. Youth Month and Youth Day was used as an opportunity to reflect on the achievements for youth development in South Africa, but also to reflect on the major challenges that still affect young people. In terms of this, a number of existing interventions were illustrated through information sharing, webinars, and COVID-compliant outreach activities. The National Pathway Management Network, SAYouth.mobi, was officially launched, as well as the Youth Explorer, which is the Empower application, which was funded by the Department of Science and Innovation and was also open to young people on Youth Day. The Youth Explorer is a really nice platform. It indicates to young people where their closest school, community college, library, NYDA, CEDA, and CIFA offices are, so that they are able to access government as well as non-government services which are closest to where they live, making it easy for them to be connected to economic and education opportunities. In the President's remarks on Youth Day, the President outlined what had already been achieved through the Presidential Youth Employment Intervention, as well as setting out plans for the next 12 months. We supported and we participated in a number of webinars, career expos, SMME summits throughout the Youth Month program. We profiled the many young people who are being supported through government-funded and government-supported programs. And we also ran the Trailblazers campaign, which recognizes ordinary young South Africans who are in this difficult time doing extraordinary things in their communities. In the State of the Nation 2020, the President outlined measures to deal with the youth unemployment crisis that we face in South Africa. Part of that plan was 5 priority actions over the next 5 years to meaningfully reduce the rate of youth unemployment in South Africa. This segment will just provide progress on some of those commitments that were made. So in terms of the National Pathway Management Network, the Memorandum of Agreement for the National Pathway Management Network has been signed by the Presidency, the Department of Employment and Labour, the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition, the Department of Public Works, the Department of Higher Education and Training, the Department of Science and Innovation, Small Business, Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities, as well as the NYDA. The Department of Employment and Labour, working with the Presidency and NYDA, are establishing and operationalizing the National Pathway Management Network, and that is done through a coordinating committee of all the key departments in the economic cluster. We've also set up a technical committee that includes partners inside and outside of government that express an interest in being part of the Pathway Management Network. Through the technical committee, mechanisms have been established to share information across partners, and plans are being made for Employment Services, which is the Department of Employment and Labour's online system for work seekers, to share information as part of the National Pathway Management Network. The SAYouth.mobi platform has been zero-rated by all mobile operators. Other partners are also exploring how they can make their offerings more accessible to young people. As I've mentioned, the President invited young people to join the National Pathway Management Network on Youth Day. Multiple efforts are also underway to facilitate transitions, such as the multi-stakeholder effort, which is led by the Department of Higher Education and Training and the Department of Basic Education, to identify exit pathways for school assistance. Similarly, we're looking at how we transition young people on the Social Relief of Distress grant into more sustainable job opportunities and, for example, on past programs like War and Leaks graduates. The Department of Public Works has briefed the National Youth Service Coordinators and are undertaking a number of steps to activate participation of DPWI on the Pathway Management Network. The Department of Small Business Development has fast-tracked the implementation of the SMME database. To date, over 220,000 SMMEs have registered and used the platform. In addition to being used by SMMEs, the platform also assists to improve the traceability of support which is being provided to SMMEs and cooperatives. Links between the DSBD and the Pathway Management Network are being built through the TIP of 1 million, and ways to expand this, such as young people entering the Pathway Management Network and how they can find out about support, is also being done. In terms of skills and demand-led training and workplace experience, the Department of Higher Education and Training is supporting the establishment of work streams in each of the priority areas. A number of partners are working together on digital and tech, which is a critically important sector, as well as the automotive sector. The Department of Employment and Labour, through their Labour Activation Program, are also supporting initiatives in digital, agriculture, tourism and small business. We're still working towards the setup of social services and agricultural work streams. We're working towards a pilot for pay-for-performance model, which will allow us to create 8,000 jobs and crowd in external funding for the model. In terms of workplace experience, Department of Higher Education and Training is exploring how to expand the work-integrated learning through the National Pathway Management Network, and the Youth Employment Service has also strengthened these linkages with the Pathway Management Network. In terms of the Presidential Youth Service, as I've mentioned, an amount of $400 million has been set aside for Presidential Youth Service. We are already working with provincial governments such as Gauteng and the Western Cape. Civil society organizations have already started implementing the redesigned and revitalized youth service model. Provincial governments, as I've mentioned, are keen to partner. And this program is being championed by the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities, as well as the NYDA. In terms of township and rural economies, we're working on programs with the National Business Initiative around installation, repair and maintenance, building on the commitments that were made in the Job Summit. As we know, NYDA and small business have been working closely together around direct enterprise support for young people. We're also working with the IDC around the support for social enterprises. If we move into NYDA's performance reporting, in quarter four's performance, so this would be then the previous financial year, we had 25 KPIs, of which 14 were met, 10 were met and exceeded, and one was not met. Our overall achievement for the year, which is now audited achievement, was 96%. In terms of the area of administration, the targets for quarterly management report, annual workplace skills plan, annual procurement plan, value of funds sought from the public and the private sectors, as well as CETA partnerships, all of those targets were met and exceeded.
Sorry, CEO, honorable chairperson, my hand has been up.
Okay, Masiko.
I'm checking whether there's any reason why the presentation is not being flighted on the screen.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Sorry. I think it's an oversight on my part. My apologies, Chair. Can you see it now, Honourable Masiko?
Yeah.
Apologies, Chairperson. Okay. All right. Thanks, Honourable Masiko. Yes, so if we go back to the performance information in terms of the administration targets, the targets were the number of partnerships signed with technology companies, the review and implementation of the ICT strategic plan, the review and implementation of the integrated communications and marketing strategy, as well as the NYDA strategic risk register. All of those targets were met for the quarter four and financial year 2020-2021. If we move into program area two, which is program design, development and delivery. In terms of the number of youth-owned enterprises which were supported with financial interventions, 1,500 was the target. We achieved 2,300. 1,100 young people were assisted with grant funding, while 1,195 young enterprises were supported with relief fund funding. In terms of the number of youth supported with business consultancy services, the target was 2,500. We did not achieve that target. We achieved 1,800. We had a number of system issues which impacted on the program, which affected delivery. We have since taken corrective steps to correct that, to avoid the target not being met again in the new financial year. In terms of the number of youth supported with non-financial business development interventions, the target was 1,900. We achieved 4,800. In terms of the number of jobs created and sustained through supporting entrepreneurs and enterprises, the target was 5,000. We achieved 8,500. The number of jobs facilitated through job placements, the target was 2,500. We achieved 4,962. In terms of the number of young people with capacitated with skills, the target was 1,200. We achieved 2,800. In terms of the number of young people with skills to participate in the economy, the target was 2,200. We achieved 3,300. Just an example of the types of businesses that are being funded. I know a criticism of the NYDA is often that we're funding too many businesses in saturated sectors, hairdressers and car washes. If you look at, for example, this young person, Lubuyo Ndiki from the Eastern Cape, Butterworth, is running a very successful 3D printing business, which illustrates how we are transitioning the organization into supporting tech and digital type businesses in the fourth industrial revolution. Another, our CHOPS program is closely aligned to the National Pathway Management Network. A young person, Katlego Denge, who was placed in the SAPS opportunity through the NYDA jobs database. This is just one example of the thousands of young people who are being placed through the NYDA job placements program. If we go into the National Youth Service Program, the target there was the implementation of NYS communication and marketing strategy, the number of youth service projects registered, the number of partnerships coordinated to deliver on the NYS program, the design of the Presidential Youth Service, and the design of the Higher Education Youth Service. All of those targets were met. Another example of the type of youth service programs that we're implementing, and these are done at national level, at provincial level, and at local government level. In the Free State, 70 unemployed young people that are part of the NEET grouping were enrolled in a 9-month skills and stipend program. The program is being implemented with the local municipality and provincial department of public works and infrastructure, as well as bringing in the private sector through SASL, so there's meaningful exit opportunities for these young people. It allows young people to obtain skills. It allows them to obtain practical experience in the fixing and the maintenance of streetlights, road maintenance in terms of stormwater and sewage management, environmental awareness, as well as learning digital skills. And there's a really exciting partnership we have with the tech companies, particularly Microsoft, around digital skills training. And these are just one of a number of programs that are underway around youth service. And as I've mentioned, additional funding has been allocated to scale these types of programs, not only because they provide employment opportunities, but because they impact on community service in a meaningful way. If we go into the area of research and policy, in terms of the targets, we've met the targets around customer service, around impact evaluations which are conducted, around annual reports on government-wide priorities, and the number of youth status outlooks which are produced. If we look at the sectors that are being supported, the majority of our grants are in the services sector, but with strong support for tourism, manufacturing, consultancy, and marketing services. If we look at age, still the majority of our grant recipients are in the 26 to 35 age group, with a smaller amount in the 21 to 25 age group. 52% are to male beneficiaries, 46% are to female beneficiaries, 2% has been allocated to young people who are living with disabilities. In terms of the relief fund, the majority of the relief fund was allocated in the Eastern Cape province, with similar amounts through the rest of the provinces. As we've indicated, numbers did start to pick up towards the Northern Cape and the Northwest, although those are lower than other provinces. The majority of the sectors which were supported through the relief fund was the services sector, which we know is affected, as well as the tourism sector. In terms of the relief fund's gender breakdown, 57% were to male-owned businesses and 43% to female-owned businesses. I've also indicated in terms of the relief fund spatial distribution, the majority in Gauteng, followed by the Western Cape, with smaller amounts distributed across the rest of the provinces and fairly low amounts in Northern Cape and Northwest. We have looked into why we had such low amounts of applications from the Northern Cape and the Northwest. And we're also looking at how to improve our communications and strategies in those two provinces. In terms of the job placements per sector, the majority of our placements still remain in retail and in services. I must say, with retail, even though we do see a trend towards online, still retail creates a number of jobs in South Africa, and it's fairly good jobs that are easy to train for and easy to place young people in. We look at our job placements per age. The majority of our job placements are done in the age groups 21 to 30, and the majority of our job placements are also female-owned, of female beneficiaries, 68% females, 32% males. We look at our job placements. The majority of our job placements are in the Northwest province, with then fairly even distribution between the rest of the provinces. If we move into quarter one performance, so this is now in the new financial year, 2021-2022, we have 22 key performance indicators. The target, the achievement of targets is at 63% during the first quarter. Two targets are met and exceeded, three targets are just met, and three targets are not met, with a number of targets which are not yet due for achievement. In terms of our detailed targets, if we look at the administration program, the target there is the number of NYDA quarterly management reports. That target has been met. The annual workplace skills plan, that target is set for the end of the financial year. In terms of the value of funds sourced from private and public sectors, that target is set for the end of quarter number two. But given the amount of additional funding that has been allocated to the NYDA, that target will be met earlier in the year. The number of CETA partnerships and the number of technology partnerships, those targets are also set for quarter two and quarter three, respectively. In terms of the review and implementation of the ICT strategic plan, that target is also set for the end of the financial year. The communications and marketing strategy is to set for the end of the financial year. The strategic risk register, that target has been met. The targets around the SCM procurement plan, the annual report on partnerships, those targets are set for the end of the financial year. In terms of the number of youth-owned enterprises which are supported with financial interventions, 237 have been achieved against the target of 250. So we're just a little bit short on that target. The first quarter has been a challenge with the COVID regulations, but we're confident that as the economy starts to return to normal, these targets will start to be met. In terms of the number of youth supported with non-financial business development interventions, the target was 5,000, we achieved 2,904. Training is heavily affected by COVID-19, mainly because of social distancing. But once again, as the vaccination program picks up and the economy returns to normal, we will start to achieve greater numbers on that target. In terms of the number of jobs created and sustained through supporting entrepreneurs, the target was 1,000, we've achieved 1,500. In terms of the participation on the National Pathway Management Network, this target is not measured quantitatively, it's measured qualitatively because this is year one, so it's the baseline for the National Pathway Management Network. But so far, there's been 7,000 young people who've been placed in opportunities through the NYDA network on the National Pathway Management Network. So we are very confident in our participation on this program and that in future financial years, we will be able to measure a target in the tens of thousands for the National Pathway Management Network. In terms of number of young people capacitated with skills, 10,000 the target, we've achieved 8,000 at the end of quarter one.
CEO?
Yes, Chair?
With regards to the placement of young people, you are saying the target we have met, so that target we have met through the internship only or with other job opportunities that are there. You must also tell us whether you've met it through public sector only or even in private sector.
I will do so. In terms of the number of organizations and departments lobbied to implement youth service, the target was 10, we've achieved 15. The annual report on the National Youth Service Program, that target is set for the end of the financial year. In terms of the number of young people participating in the National Youth Service Expanded Volunteer Program, the target was 2,500, we've achieved 4,300. With that additional allocation of money, this target will also be well overachieved in the current financial year. In terms of the number of impact program evaluations conducted, of course, it's always important that we conduct evaluations and we share those evaluations with multiple stakeholders, including the portfolio committee. In terms of that target, we've commissioned two impact evaluations, one on the Youth Entrepreneurship, the grant program, and the other on the youth service program. We expect those reports to become available during the third quarter, when we'll share them with the committee. In terms of the annual report on the integrated youth development strategy, the IYDS has been submitted to the department for cabinet approval. In terms of the number of youth status outlooks reports being produced, the report on rural development and the relief fund is being developed. In terms of a discussion document on youth development in the country, the IYDS has been submitted, as well as a conceptualization document on stakeholder engagement. In terms of our grants program, the majority, as we've moved out of relief now, the majority of our support is on our normal grant program, while we're just wrapping up a number of relief or small amount of relief funds that were not concluded in the previous financial year. The majority of our grants are still in the services sector, with strong upticks in construction, retail and agriculture. Hospitality is at a very low amount, but this is due to the pandemic. We've been more active in Gauteng during the first quarter, but we expect these figures to then normalize over the subsequent quarters. In terms of our training, the majority of our trainings has been in the business management training. That is the one which is most demanded by young people, mainly because one has to attend the business management training in order to qualify for development finance support from the NYDA. In terms of jobs created and sustained, the majority of our jobs have been created and sustained through our relief funds as well as our grant program, with smaller amounts from the market linkages and the voucher program. We've shown the split between young people receiving job preparedness and life skills training. In terms of our jobs program, so I think, Chair, you ask an important question here. The number of job placements vary across different sectors. In the graph, which I showed earlier, the majority of jobs are still being created in the retail and the services sector, but government and internships funded by the CETA still contribute a massive amount of young people who are placed in job opportunities. I think on this slide, what we're trying to illustrate is that we receive a considerable amount of funding now from the CETA in order to train young people in artisanal trades, such as electric fabrication. What we find is that these are often one-year learnership programs, and what we've seen from previous historical experience, and I'm sure honorable members also find this when they engage with young people, is that young people feel lost in these internship programs. They feel that they gather hope by being placed in a one-year internship program. They feel that they're doing well in securing their future. But then they internship comes to an end, and again they're filled with a sense of hopelessness. They bounce in between internships and they're unable to obtain a permanent foothold in the economy. We call it zigzagging between opportunities. This just indicates that the NYDA, when we manage these programs, because we've got linkages with our self-employment programs, but also with the National Pathway Management Network, we are able to create more sustainable pathways for these young people. So you'll see there below 100% retention rate for young people. And we use this as a selling point to the CETAs to give us additional funding to continue to assist these learners to continue with year two and year three, so that where we are investing resources, we're able to retain young people in these types of programs.
That's still there, CEO. Yeah, I want you to share with us as the portfolio committee on how then you and the Department of Women, I give it to Dr. Benitez here. You must tell us on how do you monitor whether it's government or public sector or it's a private sector, the implementation of that strategy. And
Sorry.
I'm ready. how do you monitor the integrated youth development strategy as you are presenting your report? Just share with us. We also want Dr. Benis to respond to that on how the department is monitoring the integrated youth development strategy and the national youth policy, which of course is the one that needs to address youth unemployment.
Well, do, Chairperson, well, do. So if we move into, I'll just touch on it as I conclude the presentation, Chair. If we look at our jobs program analysis, the gender of our participants, 51% female, 49% male, and 90% retention in the program. So what we're realizing is that it is becoming more important to measure not only placement in job opportunities or placement in internships, but actual retention and sustainability of those programs. We've shown a provincial breakdown, we've shown learners per trade, as well as learners per training center. In terms of our jobs program, this is just an example of a young person, Maureen Monana, who's from Mamelodi in Pretoria. She's completed her fitter trade test, is now qualified fitter. In this, the young people learn about fitting, cutting, drilling, hydraulics, and much more. Maureen is then able to seek employment with experience, and then she's also able to start her own business potentially. I know one of the focuses of the portfolio committee has been the disability strategy. In terms of this, the NYDA, one seeks to create an enabling environment that would promote the full participation of young people with disabilities in NYDA programs. We would seek to develop proper mechanisms and capabilities that would allow us to first facilitate and integrate young people who are living with disabilities in our programs, to allow us to eliminate barriers to participation, and to establish and maintain partnerships with relevant internal and external stakeholders. In terms of our disability strategy, we've established partnership with the South African Blind Youth Organization. We organized a virtual session where young people, NYDA participated with about 80 plus young blind young people. The objective of the session was to provide an overview of the South African youth or South African Blind Youth Organization's mission and goals, and to educate and share information. Reasonable accommodation for visually impaired and blind youth, as well as training methods, and NYDA made a presentation for the members on its products and services and how to access it. We've developed a disability strategy which must be implemented in all our branches in this financial year, and as we've indicated, we are committed to disability targets in our operational plan for our head office and our branches for 2021. Blind SA has also invited NYDA to the annual conference in 2021. We will continue to support them with training interventions and specifically tailored training interventions, such as having Braille guides for young people. DPSA Disabled People South Africa is the umbrella organization for all organizations represented people living with disabilities. We have engaged them and they've shared a database of organizations affiliated. We are currently identifying a few organizations in different sectors. Some of the organizations have been referred to our sponsorships committee for assistance, and all of our branches have started engaging the disability sectors and conducted specifically tailored outreach programs during the first quarter of the financial year. Charles, I'll just hand over to the CFO to take you through then the quarterly financial reports for the year. If I'll just continue to project from my side. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, CEO, and greetings to the Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. CEO, just on the summary, yes. So quarter four, Chairperson, the budget for the financial year was at 542 million. This was adjusted down to 407 million due to the budget cut that related to COVID-19, and obviously we had to roll over some of the prior capital commitments. The adjusted budget took effect from 1 July 2020, where we had a further in-year cut of about 14.8 million that came into effect in October. So these adjustments actually got the amount down to 405 million rand. The spending for quarter four is 98% as at the end of March. The spending reasonably caught up regardless of the country being on lockdown, and due to this was due to COVID-19 during the first quarter of the financial year. And then the second and third quarter, you know, started to show a significant improvement as the country moved to easing some of the lockdown restrictions, which then saw the entity resuming operations on the 1st of June. This had a significant impact on the entity's spending patterns, as some of the budgeted activities relate to interactive activities with young people of South Africa, mainly skills development, workshops, outreach, and conferences. The actual expenditure, for instance, has been compared to the adjusted budget after we adjusted for the 14.8 million in-year cut and half-year budget adjustment. Employee costs are sitting at 100% compared to year-to-date budget. Donor funding spend went up to about 99% of budget. COVID-19 expenditure for the year was sitting at 1.5 million, of which 77,000 was spent in the quarter four. There was no fruitless, no irregular expenditure incurred by the entity in the fourth quarter, and there were no financial misconduct cases to report in quarter four. Chairperson, I've then supplied the tables below, which then show the actual numbers as I've explained them in the summary. Chair, I know that I have not provided this summary before, but I found it fit that one should then actually have a slide where we then actually talk on the summary of the numbers. CEO, you can maybe jump to quarter one. Yes. Sorry, quarter one, CEO. Yes. So, Chairperson, on quarter one, which is the new financial year, we tabled the budget and it was approved at 507 million. And we then received our first tranche of the grant on the 31st of May, which makes up the major part of the entity's revenue. Interest income for quarter one is 242,000 rand. This should increase in the next quarter as the first tranche was only received in May. Quarter one actual spending is at 103 million. This equates to a spend of 81% compared to the year-to-date budget and 20% compared to the annual budget. The main areas of underspending are from delays in the implementation of projects due to lockdown and the closure of offices during quarter one. And we expect that this expenditure will improve in quarter two and quarter three. Since the lockdown regulations are eased up. Employee costs are sitting at 97% compared to the year-to-date budget. Donor funding spend is at 16% of the budget. Some of these donor projects had not commenced in quarter one and they will only start in quarter two and quarter three. And some actually working in quarter four. COVID-19 expenditure for quarter one is at 358,000 rand. And it's made up of sanitizers and branded face cloth masks. The companies that provided the goods were black owned and youth owned. There were no fruitless, no irregular expenditure incurred by the entities in the first quarter. There were no financial misconduct cases to report in quarter one. The Auditor General is busy with the audit of the 2020-21 financial year, and thus the audit action plan will be presented in quarter two to portfolio. There were no internal audit findings presented for quarter one. Then the next slide is just the financial where we show the revenue analysis, and I've already spoken to the 178 million rand that we received in quarter one actual. Next slide, please. And then we then show the expenditure by program for quarter one, which actually shows in the total there at the bottom. You will see the 81% spend that I've been talking about in the summary. Next slide. and then there's expenditure by nature. This is how, actually, whilst we have expenditure by program, but these are the line items that we actually spend our funds on. And as you can see, there is the 102 million there in quarter one. Next slide. And then on the donor funding, as we've said as well, most of the donor funding projects start actually happening on quarter two and three, but we can actually see that there are some funds that have been spent under the services CETA program of youth training and development, and then under the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, where that is the Young Patriot Program, we spend about 2.5 million rand. The Enterprise Development Challenge program has not started as yet. That's the reason why it's sitting at zero, as well as the Flemish project. Next slide. I think that's it on my side.
Yeah, maybe just before we conclude, I just want to perhaps answer your question around the Integrated Youth Development Strategy. Just a different presentation, just give me a second so I get it up on my screen. So Chet, in terms of the Integrated Youth Development Program, when we presented the detail of the Integrated Youth Development Strategy to the committee, we indicated that the objects of the NYD is to develop an Integrated Youth Development Plan and Strategy for South Africa, and then to develop the guidelines for the implementation of an Integrated National Youth Development Policy, and to make recommendations to the President. Now, when we look at coordination of the youth sector, I think the one thing that we've taken into account in designing the principles of how we coordinate is that coordination can't just be where lots of departments come to a quarterly or a monthly session and they present and they say, this is what we're doing for youth and this is our numbers. It has to be something beyond that, right? So coordination has to drive meaningful systematic change, and it has to prevent what I think is a lot of duplication of efforts across different sectors. And then secondly, we have to focus on programs that support scale. We have to have programs, not 10 young people here, 20 young people there. You need big programs in the thousands and tens of thousands if we're going to shift the needle. And while small programs are important, they often don't meet the required scale for coordination. So when we design the Integrated Youth Development Strategy, ultimately it's aligned to the goals of the National Development Plan as well as the National Youth Policy. But many of the targets for the Integrated Youth Development Strategy are linked to the medium-term strategic framework. So the targets have already been agreed, for example, in performance agreements of ministers and of director generals. And then subsequently, those targets have been distributed across the five pillars of the National Youth Policy, which are economic transformation, education and skills development, health, social cohesion, as well as effective youth development machinery. We went and consulted all of these targets with the youth sector and made sure that there's meaningful expectation and understanding of what needs to be achieved for young people in this administration and then in future administrations as well. But for example, they can't only be that we do the IYDS and then everybody goes away and then we come back in 2025 and we only reassess then. So what we've said is important is that we must give feedback annually to the youth sector, not only what NYDA is doing, but what all of government plus civil society plus the private sector is doing for youth development in South Africa. Now, while designing this, we must also be recognize the state that the country finds itself in, right? Now, the public sector wage bill is very high in South Africa. So, for example, as NYDA, I cannot go and suggest that we must go and establish new work streams with lots of managers and senior managers for all of these five pillars of the youth policy and the integrated youth development strategy. I cannot continue to be an accounting officer which burdens the public sector wage bill. Yeah? So we have to find creative ways of monitoring and evaluation. And I think you've raised a very important view on monitoring and evaluation. So the approach that I'm proposing is that the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, which is the department in the presidency, which is the same place the NYDA and the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities finds itself in, they already do a lot of the monitoring and evaluation work on the economy, on education, on skills, on social and health outcomes. But what we need to do is stratify and work together with DP&E that we leverage off that work, but we report specifically youth monitoring, evaluation, and outcomes. What we also get a sense of is that the presidency is taking center stage on reporting on the economy and job creation, and that we as NYDA will contribute to that process, and we're already contributing through the Presidential Youth Employment Intervention, but the presidency must be allowed to lead those coordination efforts. Where as NYDA we find the most important role for ourselves is that we are the coordinators of the National Youth Service Program, which contributes towards social cohesion and nation building. And this is reflected in the additional funding that's been granted by the National Treasury. You can see that NYDA is being positioned as the lead on the National Youth Service Program. As well as, we see a critical coordination role for ourselves in the greater youth development machinery in South Africa. So whereas you have NYDA, which exists at national level, we know that there are many youth directorates in provinces, in metros, in districts. And coordinating and finding effectiveness and efficiency in those forums is where the NYDA's role particularly lies. So we must try and avoid duplicating a lot of stuff that already exists and rather take an approach of leveraging the work that is already being done. Now, what are our commitments on the monitoring and evaluation, right? Every year in November from this year, we as NYDA must present a progress report on IYDS. So we must look at every target that's been contributed for youth in the medium-term strategic framework, and we must come back to the committee and we must say, not only for NYDA, but for government, this is what we have actually achieved for the medium-term strategic framework. And this is what we've not achieved. So the committee has line of sight, not only what's happening in the NYDA, but what is happening in the entirety of government. But secondly, you must come back and reflect on why. If you're just not achieving targets, you have to understand why. And also, if you're achieving the wrong targets, you can't pat yourself on the back, yeah? So every year in early December, from 2021 to 2025, we must convene as the youth sector. We must have a reflection across the five streams of what is working and what is not working, so that IYDS is not a document that stands still and gathers dust on somebody's table. Is actually the lived experiences of young people in this country. Chair, I'll pause there for now and hand back. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think you understand us very well, CEO, because, you know, sometimes the way your reports are crafted, it becomes difficult for honorable members to ask certain questions. That's why other people, they will think that it's overreaching when you ask them things that are not there, they did not submit before us. But maybe what you need to do also, if you can also, after doing that you can prepare a report for us as the portfolio committee, and also call the chair on when are you ready to come in and make a presentation, because you see we are facing a very big challenge when looking at the statistics of high youth unemployment rate. It's scary. So I think we need to move, you know, as a country. And I would like to also hear what Dr. Benitez is going to share with us regarding that before I ask other honorable members. Dr. Benitez.
Thanks, and good morning, Chairperson. Regarding the monitoring of what the departments are actually doing, Chairperson, I'm sure you are aware that the department is busy developing the monitoring and evaluation framework, and that is the monitoring and evaluation framework for the National Youth Policy. It has got the indicators which are aligned to the five pillars of the National Youth Policy: education, you know, economic development, job creation, all the five pillars: health, mental health and physical health, social cohesion and nation building, and effective and youth development missionary. So in that regard, what we do as a department is that we request all the government departments to actually report against those indicators. And, you know, some of the indicators, they are also from, some of the indicators, they are also from the other sectors, like, you know, civil society sector, as well as parastatals. So we collect data and then we compile reports. And then we submit that report to cabinet through the minister, and we also expect that you know, the minister would actually submit the report to the president through the presidential youth working group. However, let me say that during this term of office, we have never had a presidential youth working group where the report is actually outlined by different government departments, which is it is a shortfall on our side. But then we have been making requests to the presidency so that the report can be outlined to the president. But that has never been you know, convened.
What, Dr. Bennett, what were you saying at the end? I didn't hear that.
No, I am saying that in terms of the institutional arrangement, it is that once the report is compiled, it must be submitted to the president through the presidential youth working group. However, this administration, the presidential youth working group meeting was never convened, but our minister has made requests to the president for the presidential youth working group meeting to be convened, but that meeting never actually took place.
Okay, how do you work with NYDA to avoid duplication?
We work with the Integrated Youth Development Strategy, which is currently being developed by the NYDA chairperson, is the Integrated Youth Development Strategy for the National Youth Policy. So in terms of how we are working with the NYDA is that previously, when we were actually reporting to the Presidential Youth Working Group, it was the NYDA, civil society sector, and different government departments reporting to the president. So it is not something which the department is actually doing alone, but then it is a joint effort when we actually go to the Presidential Youth Working Group.
Okay.
Even currently, sorry, Chairperson.
Okay, you can continue, Dr. Bennett.
Okay, I wanted to say that even currently, with the development of the Integrated Youth Development Strategy, we are actually supporting the National Youth Development Agency, and they have actually submitted the strategy to the department. So we are going to be supporting the National Youth Development Agency in ensuring that the Integrated Youth Development Strategy, it is submitted and presented to cabinet via the cabinet classes.
Yeah, I think the other other concern that we are having as the portfolio committee is that you are also doing advocacy as a Department of Youth, of Women, Youth and Persons with Disability. But, you know, what seems not to come out clearly on whether young people of South Africa are benefiting in the economic space of the public sector nor private sector, that thing is not coming out clearly, Dr. Bennett. We've been trying to get a sense on whether you as the department, you do advocacy for for young people and check whether there is any projects. There are projects that are set aside for young people, because this also is worrying us as the portfolio committee, especially when we looked at the statistics that was presented last week. Can you respond to that?
Yes, Chairperson, we do advocate for young people and make sure that Chairperson, is that our involvement with the Department of Land and Agriculture, with the Department of Rural Development, Land and Agriculture. In that regard, we actually sit in the meeting when there is allocation of land, and we also have got, as a department, we have got a memorandum of agreement with the department. So we make sure that there are set targets that are set aside for young people. And also the other example that I can also give is that the department currently is working on the 4IR Youth Skills and Employment Project. We have approached several government departments, including Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. And then in that regard, there is a memorandum of agreement that is underway, where we would like to see Community Works Development Program participants benefiting also from the 4IR areas. So, you know, those are actually some of the initiatives where we want to see, you know, targets being set aside for young people. And then just recently, Chairperson, we also had a meeting, for an example, with SASOL regarding training of artisans in order to lobby the practice, make sure that they also ensure that young people are actually trained in other you know, scarce skills areas. So, you know, this is actually some of the examples which shows that as the department, we are advocating for young people to benefit from various sectors within government as well as outside of the government.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Bennett. Can I get hands from honorable members? Honorable Piri, Honorable Masiko, Masondo, okay. Honorable Piri, Honorable Masiko, Masondo, Mpiti, Sheriff, Mamsonti, Somo, Babungobo, yeah. In that order, I think I have noted all of you honorable members, ne? Carol, Masiko, Masondo, Mpiti, Sheriff, Mteban, Mamsonti, Babungobo, Mamsonti, and Honorable Somo. Yeah. In that order.
Thanks, Chair. Let me start by greeting all members, honorable members in the platform, and the leadership of NYDA together with the department. But Chair, allow me to say it is with a great achievement, be it one of the things that we must say, we need growth amongst ourselves, not forgetting Honorable Mgweva, who's no longer part of us, but we appreciate the good work that she was doing with us. Chair, before I proceed, allow me to request yourself not to open my video due to the network problem. It's a challenge if I open it, my some hiccups. So with your permission, Chair, can I proceed without my video on?
Yes, you can proceed.
Also, I want to join yourself and Honorable Masiko in welcoming the new member, my younger sister,
Honorable Mukwebo Gumantanya, we welcome you, and I'm certain that you're going to contribute.
Is it nepotism from Limpopo or what?
No, but she's my younger sister. So I must just welcome you with warm hands. Our
promise to the people of South Africa decent jobs, you know, decent employment, how in this internship, what is it that we want to achieve? And we are still, we think taking them to be 2 years and 3 years, is it part of employment? Is it really what we are striving for? So now my thinking is to say, even though you can increase for 2 years or 3 years, beyond that, what will happen? You'll still have the same problem. But then I believe if they're saying we want to increase for 3 years, beyond that 3 years, what will be your plan to deal with that particular challenge? Okay. You know, they raised even the issue of saying we managed to advocate for 7,000, you know, but then what is the unemployment rate within the country? And you are talking about 7,000 or 10,000 target. I don't know whether you are talking about a target for a quarter or a target for the whole year, which will multiply it to, let's say, 40,000. But is it enough? Is it a drop in the ocean? Is it something that we say we must pat ourselves and say we are doing well? Definitely no. But then I think we need to up our game. We need to have a different thinking from what we are presenting. On the last part that I want to conscientize, and I want us, maybe if we've got time, we need to talk about it. In terms of us contributing into the economy, you know, the president and the NDPA, we've got that book on its own. There's special economic zones. I've never heard NYDA, be it the department, talking about advocating and plans that they're doing for young people to venture and be part of being in the special economic zone project or programs. Specifically, you know, the country, when we're talking about the economy, the recovery of the country, you talk about the EMS municipalities that have got special economic zones. But then what is it that we are checking and saying these are young people who've got capacity and we want them to be, you know, real business people? They've just highlighted in their report 2-3 young people who have been donated or who have been given grants by NYDA. At the same time, do we have the stats of those young people who are saying they are now good entrepreneurs? How many young people did they employ to cover and close the gap of unemployment? So those are the missing links that I think sometimes they need to tell us. How many did they fund it? And in those funds, how many did they achieve, those young people? How many did they employ? So we need numbers. We need tangible things, even though when we talk to people on the ground, it must not be like ceremonial. We come here and just say this quarter two, 1, 2, 3 has happened. But we need things that are visible, that we can brag about them, that we can show them and tell people this is what is happening. But up to so far, Chair, even though they are quarter four, it's something that they'll say it's a better rate. But in real sense, in real life, we are not seeing that. But let me pause there. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Phiri, I think in our last meeting, I'm not sure whether it was in May, if I'm mistaken, honourable members can correct me. We requested a breakdown of the issues that we have raised, and they did submit, NYDA, they did submit a document, which that document was supposed to be shared with all honourable members. But if maybe that document was not shared with honourable members, because I think it was Honourable Sharif, myself, and Honourable Masiko who was having that concern on that we reading numbers on paper and not knowing where did those things happen. It's not okay.
we forwarded that information to NYDA, and they were assisted. Honorable Mpiti was giving, even commending them, and Honorable Masondo and myself. But also what maybe needs to happen is that all honorable members, where you find a young person who says, I have applied in the NYDA for funding or for any assistance, I don't get joy, please don't hesitate to forward it to NYDA. But Honorable, the CEO can also respond on that when we are done with all the questions. Thank you very much, Honorable Piri. We want numbers to translate in real sense so that we can see whether there's progress or no progress. It's true, it's a drop in an ocean. You know, those numbers, they're small. But I think we must also consider their financial constraints so that at least at the end of the day, you know, we are not being unfair to NYDA. Honorable Masipo? Masipo?
Yes, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I'm here, and I would request to turn off my video because my network is very unstable at the park. But I'm present in the meeting, Chairperson, and my video is on right now, if you allow me to do so.
It's okay.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I think we must commend, Chairperson, the work that the NYDA has done through this period. And we know that it's quite difficult having to run the organization, Chairperson, knowing that the board has not been in for quite some time. We do hope, Chair, because it's been a public process that has undergone, that we have undergone in trying to ensure that the board is in place so that they are able to you know, start working. And we are hoping that by this afternoon, as we all know, that the report of the NYDA will be going through the House. And we are hoping that the best will happen this afternoon collectively with all political parties that have participated in the process. So we should really pass on a word of appreciation to the CEO for keeping the organization afloat through all the circumstances that have happened. Chairperson, the first issue that I would like to raise to the CEO is relating to the issue of the financial performance. And we know, Honorable Chair, that in terms of quarter four financial performance, it was reported that there was 100% spent under employment costs. So one would like to know that given the fact that the board has not been in place for some time, can the CEO or the CFO actually explain to us that how does the NYDA spend 100% under employee costs in quarter four for the 2021 financial year when we know that there have been vacancies in the board and the money that was supposed to be spent towards the board should have been accounted for under savings. In terms of the COVID-19 chairperson, one would like to know what are the key lessons that the NYDA has learned on the impacts of COVID-19 on the total operations of the National Youth Development Agency? Because one would like to know, you know, there are lessons that we have learned. Organizations have gone through and they have implemented strategies in terms of work operations. So what lessons or key lessons can the CEO tell us that they have learned through this process? We have gone through, Chairperson, the unrest, especially they have affected in the main, largely provinces, which is the Gauteng province, as well as the province of KwaZulu-Natal. Large businesses have been greatly affected, but we also know that small businesses have been affected with the looting. some of the I've seen some of the pubs, you know, that are owned by young people and the cafes owned by young people have also been greatly affected. So we'd like to know that of the 2,316 youth-owned enterprises which were funded in the 2021 financial year, has the NYDA actually received reports or gone out to check on the funded small businesses or youth-owned enterprises, if any, have been affected by the recent unrest in Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal provinces? If they have, Chairperson, and they've received reports, how many have been affected and to what extent has the damage affected those young people? And if any assistance could be provided, if these young people could come up and request for further assistance because their businesses have been affected by the unrest, would the NYDA be, or have they planned to offer or render any of the support that has been given? We know that the former Minister of Small Business Small Business Development Minister Kumbuzo has raised the challenge, I think towards the end of last year, on the issue of support to at least 15,000 startups of youth-owned enterprises by the year 2024. So what progress has been made, Chairperson? I think it's important for us to track that progress because at the main, I think the National Youth Development Agency should have taken that on and sort of tracked also the progress in relation to the implementation of the challenge that has been raised to support these small businesses. So one would like to know what the progress is in relation to that. In terms of the Presidential Youth Employment Intervention, Chairperson, Honorable Piri has said that, you know, when good work is done, we must commend it. And I think we should, as a portfolio committee, commend the NYDA for launching the SAYouth.mobi, as well as the Youth Explorer or the Empower application. But the question that I have, Chairperson, in relation to the launching of the SAYouth.mobi is one would like to know, we do speak issues of numbers, so we would like to know that in relation to the uptake, what has been the uptake of the SAYouth.mobi, as well as the Youth Explorer. But also, how many users were actually accessing this SAYouth.mobi and the Youth Explorer? Because it now speaks on issues of accessibility, whether it's accessible to young people across the country, especially young people in rural areas who are still facing challenges of infrastructure in relation to networks and digital issues and fourth industrial revolution. So we would like to know whether it is accessible to young people across the country and what are the current numbers that are accessing the system. In terms of CEO had raised the issue of the unmet target of they had a target of 2,500 in relation to business consultancy, but they were not able to meet. They only met it by supporting 1,872. And he had noted that target was not met because of the challenges to the ICT system and the implications of COVID-19. So a question relating to that, Chairperson, would be what progress has been made in dealing with the ICT challenges for the voucher program? That is very important on whether we're able to then ensure that the challenges to the system that were experienced are being sorted and they are being resolved and attended to. The second to last question.
If the CEO must report on that, you know the reason that he gave us, for me, it's here nor there. The issue of ICT is here nor there. So we want CEO must explain exactly what is going on there and when are they going to fix it.
Yes, Chair. The second to last
one would like to speak to Chairperson is the issue of the Sanitary Dignity Campaign Program. And for me, it speaks, and I would wish for the department to also come in on this, because it speaks to the left hand knowing and responding to what the right hand is doing. The department is rolling out or monitoring in the main Sanitary Dignity Campaign, which is being rolled out by provinces. Now, we have identified in the meeting in our meeting at the Portfolio Committee with provinces chair that as much as the program is being rolled out, but young people and women, young women in particular, are not benefiting from the financial offspring of this program. And you would find that the provinces would raise the fact that there is challenges in terms of the availability of NPOs as well as cooperatives that would be able to roll this program out. Now, you would think that the NYDA would come and offer support in relation to that, so that young people are ready to be able to respond to what is needed in rolling out the Sanitary Dignity Program. So one would like to know whether the NYDA has come forth to assist young people with relation to the support that is needed by the Sanitary Dignity Program, so that young people are able to, you know, fully participate and benefit from the economic and the financial offspring of this program. If they have done so, how have they supported it? What support have they rendered? If not, Chairperson, what one would like to know, why has that not? Well, this is a massive program. The money that has been invested in the rolling out of this program is huge. And we would like to see young people being in the forefront, especially young women, in benefiting from this program, because they are the end users of the sanitary pads. The last question is relating to the question or the issue that Honorable Piri had raised in terms of the vaccination program. CEO had noted, and we would like to send condolences to CEO, to the National Youth Development Agency, on the loss of life due to COVID-19. But you also had noted the fact that you are running an internal campaign for your employees to be vaccinated. Now, we know that it's open for young people to go and vaccinate in numbers. And we are fighting against, you know, these doomsayers who are saying that don't vaccinate because of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What we have seen through time or in this vaccine since the rollout is that people, especially in the townships as well as rural areas, are not coming forth. There was a report in KZN that the mass vaccination sites which were opened in the townships had to close because people are not coming forward to vaccinate. On Sunday, the Premier of KwaZulu-Natal, when he was giving his report, he noted that they are picking up a larger number of the deaths of COVID-19, that younger people are now being affected in numbers, but also they have been accounted deaths of young people who have lost lives due to COVID-19. Now, we would like to know whether the NYDA has a plan on ensuring that they are encouraging young people to come out in numbers to vaccinate, because it's quite important. We have to create a campaign. I know that when the 35s and between the 35s and the upwards, we're going to vaccinate. There was this, you know, hype around the national breadwinners going to vaccinate. So we need that type of a hype, so that young people, you know, will actually be encouraged to go out and get vaccinated in numbers. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Oh, Masondo, I think my mic is on.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members. Good morning, the NYDA officials. Thank you very much for the time I'm getting. Honorable Chair, I think you have alluded to the other points that you have just highlighted, and the other members, they've mentioned most of the questions, but I do have some. What progress has been made by NYDA since its last report to the committee in Quota 2 regarding the release of state land, training of youth in agriculture, and funding of youth enterprises in agriculture? Has the NYDA linked with the National Disability Machinery? If not, why not? And has the NYDA linked with the Presidential Working Group in Disability? If not, why not? Have all the... Honorable Chair?
Yonke leyo question yakhasizwanga.
The network check. What progress has been made by NYDA since its last report to the committee in quarter two regarding release of state land, training of youth in agriculture, and funding of youth enterprises in agriculture? The second one, has the NYDA linked with the National Disability Machinery? If not, why not? Have they NYDA linked with the Presidential Working Group on Disability? Have all the unmet targets from quarter three been achieved in quarter four? If not, why not? What are the outstanding targets for the financial year 2020-2021? What are the lessons can be learned from the impact of COVID-19 on the NYDA's operations? What is the status of the NYT 2030 and the NYDA Amendment Act? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masondo. Honorable Mpiti. Mpiti. Honorable Mpiti, Honorable Sheriff.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Please let me know if my connection is bad, because I am at the village, and I'll just put my video off. But first, Chair, let me just congratulate the NYDA on reaching most of their targets. Very well done. I also want to commend the NYDA for having corrective measures for each and every single target that they did not meet. This shows forward thinking, and I hope that the department can take a lesson from the NYDA on what corrective measures looks like and how to actually do it. So well done, CEO. Chairperson, I just wanted to find out a couple of things. The first thing is, in terms of the partnerships with the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities, CEO, you don't have to answer this question if you don't feel comfortable, but do you feel supported by the department? Do you feel that their job is complementing yours? And is there a good working relationship? Because where I'm sitting, I feel like it's not necessarily the case. I think the NYDA is doing most of the work in terms of getting assistance for young people, and the department is simply there as an advocacy role that uses money that I think could actually be spent better at the NYDA. Chairperson, I also want to find out about from the CEO about the recommendation by the DA on looking and working with the Department of Agriculture in terms of the new green economy and working with cannabis. I also wanted to speak about the looting and rioting, but Honorable Masiko has covered me. Just to get an indication of, do you know the businesses that were affected, how are you going to assist them, and how has it impacted the NYDA? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sheriff. If Honorable Mpiti is still not in, Honorable Ngoba.
Hi, Chair, I'm back, but I'll go after Honourable Mo. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, Honourable Members, and good morning to the NYDA and to Dr. Bennett. Chairperson, my question on the NYDA disability for developing the strategy. I think it shows that the NYDA does take into account the input and recommendations from honourable members, especially as they relate to young persons with disabilities. So the NYDA has indicated that they are busy with identifying organisations in different disability sectors to explore partnerships with them. So I'd like to know which organisations have they identified so far and what criteria have they used. And also, I know how is this disability strategy different from the ones that the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities has developed? And also, if the department has had any role in this strategy? Also, I'd like to know if the NYDA has worked with or collaborated with the Presidential Working Group on Disability in developing.
Things that are already being done by other departments. And I think the ability for us to streamline that information will be very helpful for us as a committee to be able to provide proper oversight. And I say this because, you know, we saw the status say numbers come out last week. We saw that the expanded definition for youth unemployment is at 74%. So there's definitely a crisis. And I think it would be wrong for us to put that particular crisis on the hands of the NYDA alone. And that is why it is important for us to really understand the relationships and the type of work that is being done in other departments in collaboration with the NYDA, because that will then allow us to also be able to go back to our constituencies and expand on the work that the NYDA is doing in collaboration with other departments. And maybe not necessarily, you know, the NYDA is the actioner of those particular responsibilities, but it would put things into context. So I do think that if we could make that type of arrangement so that we understand those working relationships, it will make it very easier for us to be able to understand the scope of the NYDA, particularly when it comes to youth unemployment. I think that's vitally important. I'm glad that the CEO has spoken about the market linkages, and you know I speak about it a bit on my letter to the CEO on the fact that we need to really expand this aspect, because I think this is one of the great services that the NYDA has, and this is one of the services that I think young people on the ground, particularly aspiring entrepreneurs or young entrepreneurs who are already in the game, are really just looking for a big break to be able to get their product or their service out there in as much as possible. And I think if we do really expand this particular service, it will really be amazing for young people who really feel hamstrung by capital, feel hamstrung by not being able to have the necessary resources to expand, and also might find that a relationship being cultivated is much better than to receive a grant. And I think those things that, you know, we really need to start to really understand, because, you know, a grant is very useful for an entry-level entrepreneur, but someone who's been in the game but is not actually, you know, being as profitable in expanding their business, I would really depend really largely on the market linkage. So I'd really like to understand where that particular service is and what are the plans in the future going forward on that. Honorable Masiko has touched on the SA Youth Mobi. I share the same concerns, but I'm also very happy that we've made a lot of progress on getting this type of service out to young people that doesn't require data. I think that's very important.
Recording stopped.
Young people who
recording in progress.
Yeah, there was a concern about the NYDA website that it was hacked. I'm not sure whether that's still the case. I just tried to go onto the website right now and I didn't see any challenges. But if there is something going on there, I'd really appreciate some feedback on that. Yeah, and then just the last question is just to say that, you know, part of our oversight tour between myself, Honorable Sharif and Honorable Mogo was, you know, the realizing that at some of these branches, the job placement offices are almost overwhelmed with the volume of applications that they receive from young people. And so I'm just really just interested with, you know, how exactly, you know, looking at the targets, how exactly that particular portfolio in a branch level is really assisting young people to be able to get jobs, rather than put young people on a database and not actually provide them meaningful jobs that can, you know, job opportunities at least, just outside of the database. So I'm really just interested in that. And then just to add this one to the department as well, I have not seen any inputs or statements from the department based on the stats, it says stats that came out around young people and the fact that we have the highest unemployment youth unemployment rate in the world. What is the department's response to those particular stats? What is the department's plan to respond to those threats? I have not seen anything concrete that has come about. Is there a plan? And how exactly do you plan to, as a department that has the responsibility and the mandate as a mother department to deal with youth unemployment, what is your plan to assure young people in this country that you are actually doing something to help us fight this particular crisis of youth unemployment? So I'd really like to get some concrete steps. Not just a statement. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mobo. Babu Mobo, to pay on your network.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Although,
okay, thank you so much.
I can hear you, Babu Mobo.
Oh, okay. Okay, thanks. Mr. my questions are on the disability strategy, which the NYDA completed in July 2021. Now, first of all, I would like to commend the NYDA for completing this strategy. I think it shows that the NYDA does take our input as honorable members into consideration, especially as they relate to young persons with disabilities. So the NYDA has indicated that they have identified a few organizations in different disability sectors which they want to partner with. So I would like to know which organizations have they identified and what was the criteria. I would also like to know how is this disability strategy different from the ones that the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities has produced. And also I would like to know if the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities has had any role that is played in the development of this strategy. And also just to find out from the NYDA if they were able to link this strategy with the National Disability Imaginary. Thank you, Chairperson.
I'll be on the unemployment rate, Chairperson. the unemployment rate is too high. It's increasing day by day in this country. Our young people are staying at home, eating nothing, doing nothing, more especially in the rural area. I do not see any performance in the department to help or to make sure that this thing of unemployment is come to an end. The budget, Chair, is there to be used, but it is so disappointed to see and hear that about the higher percentages is increasing on unemployment instead of decreasing. This challenge, which is facing by our young people, causes them to be involved in many things which are not good, like drugs and crime. Chairperson, I am talking about the youth which is educated and graduated, have degrees and diplomas. Even in the previous terrible thing which happened in Durban, KwaZulu-Natal and in Gauteng, of that looting of the stores, if you can check, Chairperson, there are more young people who did that, which shows that and seems that they have nothing to do. They just stayed at home, hungry, not working. No skills, no nothing. How can the department make sure that the young people are accommodated in the job opportunities in all provinces? The 2,316 youth owned enterprises that were funded in 2020 to 2021. How many were affected by the recent unrest in Gauteng and in KZN? Number last, what key lessons can be learned from the impact of COVID-19 on the NYDA's operations? Of the 38% companies that were youth and women-owned COVID-19 expenditures, how many companies did this amount to, and what was the average spend for, per company? Thank you, Chairperson.
So, Mam Sonji, we are saying how many companies benefited from the NYDA rescue, the economic rescue fund, or what? I didn't get that last question.
Yes, Chapter 10, yes, I'm trying to say that.
Oh. Okay, Honorable Gumani, let me give you your maiden speech and open your video. Open it. We want to see your face.
Okay, let me try to... Can you see my face? I'm here.
How are you?
I'm good, Chairperson. How are you?
I'm good.
Yes.
All right, you're welcome.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson,
Honorable Kumani will get used to the fact that you always want us to open our videos, Chairperson. So she will get used to how it's done in this committee, Chair.
Okay.
What camera to Ah, don't go to that when I come in I know what I'm doing.
Okay. Okay. You're welcome, Honorable Kumani. Over to you, CEO, CFO, and Dr. Penis. I see that you are with your other colleagues. They can also assist in responding.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks very much for all the questions, and I think thanks as always. The questions always help to move us forward. So Honorable Piri started with the vaccine for young people, right? So I just want to show a couple of slides on what we're young people earlier than expected. We're very excited, young people, that it was opened for us here. Yeah. But what we realized is that
you lead by example. You have vaccinated.
I vaccinated on the same day. So for example, what we realized is that the numbers since opening for young people has gone up from 9 million vaccinated to, I think, 12.5 million, and the Department of Health estimates about 3 million young people between 18 to 35 have already been vaccinated. What we realize is that in terms of young people who are not vaccinating, there's two categories. There's one that are very skeptical and critical of the vaccine, and the other group is those who are unsure, and they just need a bit more information. So our call to action is to encourage more people to get vaccinated, to prepare our internal and our external stakeholders, to showcase those that have been vaccinated, and to provide testimonials. Yeah? We use all of our channels, social media, YouTube, webinars, information on the website, and posters as well. And to say we can't work in isolation, this is a coordinated campaign led by GCIS and the Department of Health. In terms of that, we have nice looks and feels, positive colors, making sure that there's awareness, you know, where you can get vaccinated, what it entails. This body sort of transport works well. And then webinars. So the idea is to have, we have these Facebook Fridays where we get a young doctor who comes on board, gives young people advice, answers their questions. So a lot of people feel if you're a young man, sometimes there's a lot of misinformation about the vaccine and what it causes. If, for example, my wife is expecting another baby, she's not sure as a pregnant young woman if you can get vaccinated. So we offer those opportunities to ask a specialist about COVID-19 and the vaccine. We ran an internal competition for staff, so send us your picture of getting vaccinated and then we choose one, or we run a raffle if we choose one, and you can win 500 rand for the week for getting vaccinated. And we've decided to extend that campaign to young people. We put a competition that young people can win data. So every day on the site, we're publishing young people who have been vaccinated. We encourage them to send us their pictures. So we're doing as much as we possibly can. And these are some of the posters. We know transport remains an issue. So buddy transport to vaccination sites for young people. These are just some of the things we showed our leadership all got vaccinated as well. So those are some of the campaigns that we're running around the vaccine. Honorable Piri then asked me about the memorandum of understanding, and the one thing that I've tried to introduce in NYD and the team has tried to introduce is we try and not sign MOUs and MOAs for the sake of signing them. So what I've always said to the team is that if an MOA or MOU doesn't come with financial commitment, or at least a commitment on what it's doing for young people, we can't count that as a target. So the target that you see being counted on the APP is actually something that is substantial for young people. So is it 1,000 young people being placed in a job opportunity? Is it funding for an internship? Is it funding for the grant program? And I'm happy, I think on the PTR, can I disclose the list of agreements and what they entail for young people? I'm happy to do that, Chairperson. In terms of the length of the internship, so I do think that internships hold value in society, right? So if we think about, and many of us would have been beneficiaries of internship and graduate programs, because what they do is they create a pathway for young people. So if you're a young person, like for example, I'm an accountant today, but once upon a time, I had to go through an article training process, and I went through first year of my articles and second year, and I graduated through that program, and I learned different things, right? And I'm sure it's similar in the medical community, it's similar in the marketing community. So particularly for young people coming out of universities, TVET colleges, what are the challenges with internships, right? On the one hand, they're too short, because there's not enough time to get practical experience for young people, right? So lengthening them does have a certain degree of benefit, I think, because the ability to have more practical experience is there. But then two is that young people are not getting quality work experience. So in the internship, they are reduced to administrators or things such as that. And there we've put a lot of lobby and advocacy work on the CETAs to impose more stringent conditions on employers to ensure that young people are getting quality work experiences. And the quality of the mentorship that they're receiving is there, and that only entities that are offering that quality should be beneficiaries of the CETA kind of funding. But then the third issue is that moving from these sort of internships into more permanent forms of employment. And then we must recognize that for us to create more sustainable employment, the economy has to grow. Everything we do around youth employment, and yes, the youth employment intervention is important. The YES program is important. The NYDA's self-employment opportunities are important. But at the heart of it, we have to get this economy growing at more than 3% a year if we're going to create the kind of jobs and scale that we need to for young people to be absorbed and to live a fruitful and a happy life. Yeah? And I also hear Honourable Piri around impact. And I think my message to the committee is that we are trying to not, NYDA, even with 430 million extra, that is not enough to curb what we're seeing in youth unemployment. We have to measure not only NYDA, but broader government. And I'm happy to share with this committee, as I've done today, more broadly what is happening around youth unemployment. So the 11 billion, for example, I'm happy to share in our quarterly reports going forward exactly how that 11 billion is being spent for youth employment programs. Because that's the level of scale we need to address the challenge. Honorable Masiko asked important questions around the spend on employee costs. Now, Chair, the CFO can also reflect, but what had happened last year, because it was COVID, the NYDA originally had a budget of about 540 million rand. Right, and there were cuts from National Treasury to the entire budget, but many of our donors also reduced their donor commitments to NYDA. Now, the NYDA had to go through an adjustment process to incorporate those cuts, otherwise it would have been at risk of major overspending and our financial health would have been at risk. When it became clear to us across multiple quarters that the board would not be appointed, we requested National Treasury whether we could use the portion of employee costs that was allocated to the board and the board support office to absorb some of those cuts. We requested that permission from them, and they subsequently granted us that permission. So that is why you'll not see that saving. That cost of compensation was transferred to goods and services, okay, to compensate for the cuts. In terms of COVID-19 on operations, I think a massive impact. I think we do realize, though, that with the level of technology available, it is possible to sell or run an organization remotely. I must say, I must also commend the majority of our staff. They through the lockdowns, they've continued to assist young people. They keep pushing on the ground. When you ask them to come back to work, they do so. I think the need for online and crossing the data divide and making the access to data more equitable in nature is critical if we're going to move this country forward from a technological perspective. And I think the Department of Communications has a huge role to play in that perspective. In terms of the recent unrest, I also wanted to just show a couple of slides there. So, colleagues, we had established the Youth Enterprise Rebuilding Fund limited to the provinces of Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. We opened that fund specifically as a response to the recent unrest. 62 applications in KZN and 25 in Gauteng for that fund. 60, in our view, meet the criteria for qualification. And the list of beneficiaries, as always, we will publish them within the POPIA regulations by the end of September with our view towards being open and transparent in how we disperse funding. SA Youth currently has 1.4 million young people signed up, and the most recent stats say that 370,000 have found placement opportunities through the SA Youth platform. I also want to use that opportunity maybe to respond to Honourable Impeachment's question. idea is that the jobs program or the job placement program must be driven through the SAU platform going forward. So the NYD has 9 provincial jobs offices. Their role is to sign young people up and give them guidance in signing up to the SAU network, one, and then in their respective provinces to crisscross the provinces and find opportunities and encourage partners to list their opportunities on the SAU platform so that young people can be connected through the opportunities using the power of technology. In terms of the ICT challenges that we faced, let me just give a little bit more breakdown on that. So the NYD operates a number of legacy systems, multiple legacy systems that must integrate with one another. So, for example, we've got a grant system, a voucher system, a training system, and the view has always been that we need to integrate all of those systems into one. Now, and then I'm going to show colleagues just now what it looks like, but in July of this year, we managed to merge all our systems into a single integrated system. Now, what the voucher system provider did to us last year, the annual license fee for the voucher system was about 300,000 rand a year. Suddenly, the service provider, when we requested an extension while we were integrating our systems, more than doubled that cost to 800,000 a year. And I felt that was pure exploitation on the part of the service provider. And we had refused to make that payment. And subsequently, what had happened was we had to integrate a manual system, and that caused quite a number of issues. But I still feel it was the right decision because you can't be exploited by big companies like that, you know. So that caused us to miss the target, which is unfortunate. But we're happy to say that that has now been resolved, and we do not expect a subsequent element to occur in the new financial year. Sanitary dignity, I must admit, we've not partnered with the department on that. What I will do is reach out to the relevant unit at the Department of Women that deals with this, and I will see what we can incorporate as NYD and how we can support particularly young female entrepreneurs in accessing the program, but also benefiting from manufacturing. I must say, though, that I am pleased with the number of young people we've been able to support in the manufacturing of sanitary dignitary towels. And I think that program bodes well because there's a clear access to market. I must say also that the retail companies, the bigger ones, particularly Clicks and Dis-Chem, seem to be doing a lot around the procurement of locally manufactured goods from young people. I have answered, I think, Honorable Masipo's questions around the vaccine uptake. I think there was also maybe just one more thing to add on the vaccine, is that we must acknowledge that vaccine hesitancy is not only a uniquely South African problem. The global anti-vaccination movement has grown substantially, and I think globally more needs to be done, particularly by the World Health Organization, because vaccines, I think we know, are not only for COVID-19, but for many other diseases are important in eradicating disease. In terms of Honorable Masondo's questions around agriculture, since our last report, 539 new enterprises have been supported through training and funding through the Department of Agriculture, the NYD, and the Department of Women's Partnership. So that was that. In terms of unmet targets, there was only one unmet target in the previous financial year. There's a number in this financial year around quarter one. But what we expect is that in subsequent quarters, as we recover from COVID, those targets will start to be met. Honorable Masondo, I think I've answered the lessons learned from COVID-19. Dr. Bernice will answer the question on the Amendment Act. Honorable Sharif has asked the question about the relationship with the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. I must say, particularly from the Director General's office, there's a great deal of support to the NYD. In raising that additional funding from National Treasury, that 430 million, it would not have been achieved without the support from the DG's office. And the DG is always accessible, even if I call in the evenings, she's always on hand to support. And particularly in this period that there's been no board, the DG's office has really been supportive of the NYD. NYD. And I do think we have a close working relationship with one another. And also from the ministry, the officials in the ministry are always available. They always pose ideas to the NYD on things that can be done better. So I cannot fault the department for their level of support to the NYD.
Now we are having almost a million.
Yes, Chair. Actually, we are, for the first time in NYD's history, we're going to go past the billion. Chair. So it's quite a contentious issue, but we are excited. We're excited about the work we can do for young people. In terms of Honorable Sharif, the Cannabis Master Plan was approved at NADLEC. That's being led by the Department of Agriculture and Reform. NYD is participating in that process. I gave quite a detailed update at my last presentation. I'll give another one at our next portfolio committee meeting, which I think is in October. Honorable Mshlongo, I think we have consulted. I think I did show the number of organizations we've consulted with around disability, but I'll just maybe pull it up again. Sorry, just a second. Disability.
Around responding to the status day report, which I think
which I think is really important. And I'm happy you've raised that point in this platform today. The Honourable Nhlongo raises the issue about offices in all local municipalities. And I think this is an important matter that perhaps we must have a discussion about. The NYD increased during the term of the third office, Board of Directors offices. We increased our capacity in terms of offices from 15 to 44 functional offices. And I'm happy to say all of those offices are functional and operating and able to offer services. Now, as we moved into the sixth administration and COVID-19 happened, the view from stakeholders, particularly the National Treasury and the Presidency, is that the NYD should not be opening any more offices. We should flatline at the 44 that we've opened, and that young people should be receiving services as much as possible online or through other multiple sites that are available. So we should not seek to create new infrastructure, but we should try and leverage existing infrastructure which is already there. Now, again, I just want to share my screen. I don't know if I can share my Internet Explorer. Okay, there it is. So this is the Empower application, right, which I spoke about in my earlier comments. And I'd really encourage young people to sign up to the Empower platform. So if you look at what it offers, right, it says it puts young people in touch with where their closest school is, their closest Wi-Fi hotspot is, their closest post office, their business center, or technology station, right? And this is useful because it's useful in terms of them being connected to the closest place where they can access a government service. So its ability to scale and connect young people using technology. But then I also want to share with colleagues, you know, when you want something to work, it will not work for you. I also want to share around the NYDA's transition to more technological platforms, right? So if you go to the NY website and you go to the NYD portal, I don't know, it seems to be struggling now that I'm sharing my screen. But if you go onto the NYDA portal now, what you'll find is that a young person can apply for NYDA services through the NYDA website, right? You can register for training, you can apply for a grant, you can apply for a voucher. Whatever a young person needs, they can now do it through an NYDA website. So I think in the absence of new money for infrastructure, for organizations, and this is not only NYDA, but it's all organizations in the country, what we need is to be able to reach young people through innovative and creative ways, because I don't know if money is going to become available for opening up new access points in South Africa. In terms of Honorable Sonti's question around the companies that benefited, I just want to go back to my presentation, is to say that there we go. Sorry, I just wanted to show. So in terms of our system, a young person can apply through a youth inquiry, partners can get in touch with us, or NPOs can get in touch with us through a partner inquiry. You can see young people can register on our jobs database, they can apply for a voucher, they can apply for a grant, they can register for youth service programs, they can become a mentor, they can access all of the training programs as well. So I think we have to look at scaling through technology. In terms of Honorable Sonti's question around companies that benefited for youth employment programs or any programs, I think we did share with the committee our comprehensive list of companies that benefited, and we're happy to keep doing that as well. But I just wanted to show the committee as well, if we look at, you can see that in the number of youth-owned enterprises, we measure both the grants and the relief fund, but we also measure the number of jobs that are created and being sustained, and the programs which are creating and sustained. So for the first quarter, it was 1,500. I just want to check, in the previous financial year, it was 8,500 jobs created and sustained through our programs. Yeah. So I think that we have shown the capacity, and I think we show the beneficiary stories just to show examples, but then we release the detailed Excel spreadsheet so colleagues have sight of all of the beneficiaries. And then I think Honorable Gunmani did not have a question, but just to say welcome to the committee. We look forward to working together. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, CEO. CFO?
Sorry, Chairperson, I was busy talking on mute. I think the question CEO has responded on the issue of the 100% on employee costs. And obviously, you know, the issue was raised around the fact that the board, the budget for the remuneration of the board should have been a saving. But CEO has responded by mentioning the fact that firstly, we had an in-year budget cut which was specific to cost of employment. And during that in-year budget cut, we had to then look at where we could actually cut. And firstly, with the uncertainty that was actually happening around the board appointment, we took a decision to then when we were revising our budget, not to include the cost for the board, because I think at the time the process had to actually be restarted. So obviously we looked at this, and then we took some of the cuts based on this. But OCO has actually expanded to this in one issue for finance.
Okay. Dr. Penis?
Thanks, Chairperson. There was a question regarding the status of the National Youth Policy. With regard to the National Youth Policy, it has been approved, and based on the National Youth Policy, the National Youth Development Agency has developed the Integrated Youth Development Strategy, which is now going to be processed to Cabinet by the clusters for approval. And the other thing regarding the National Youth Policy is that we are busy developing the MNE framework, I think I mentioned earlier, and also to improve on the previous reporting system, we are also developing the online system so that different government departments can actually report progress on what they are doing to develop and empower young people. And there was also another question regarding the NYDA Amendment Act. On the NYDA Amendment Act, I'm sure honorable members are aware that we had extended the consultation period, and now we have consulted with all relevant stakeholders, including with NEDLAC, and we are going back to present this the NYDA amendment to Cabinet by the cluster. I think we are left only with two clusters to present to, which is the governance cluster as well as the social protection cluster. There was actually a delay because of Cabinet reshuffle. So, you know, we will actually be going to Cabinet very soon, hopefully, before the end of September. We should be presenting this for Cabinet approval so that it can be tabled in Parliament. So honorable members will now have the bill so that you can make sure that it is enacted into law. And I think honorable BT ask about the question of the response to unemployment, which the CEO has already alluded. And I just want to indicate that the department is working together with the NYDA and the presidency, because the presidency, they are also responsible for coordinating youth employment initiatives in that regard. And we have also other partners, including the Department of Labor, and the CEO has actually mentioned the issue of issuing a joint statement in that regard. I think, Chairperson, this is all that I can respond to. Thank you.
Any of your colleagues who wants to add something? Dr. Bennett?
Thanks, Chairperson. I've got my colleague, Old Man Fobi. I'm not sure if OJ would like to add anything.
No, Dr. Klahala. Nothing additional here.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much, honorable members. I think if there are no follow-up questions, that means honorable members are fine with the responses that we got from NYCA and the youth branch from the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. If there's no further questions, then we are fine. I think, honorable members, we have come to the end of our meeting. Thank you very much, Dr. Penis, for coming and with your team. You understand exactly what is accountability. And thank you very much, CEO and CFO, for making your presentation easy for us to understand it. You know, without putting English language or words that are very difficult for us to understand, that will make us to go through our dictionaries and to look at what does this word mean. But thank you very much, CEO, for the good work that you've been doing. In fact, it's not good. Good is understatement, for the excellent work you've been doing at the NYCA and UCFO, because you've been receiving unqualified audit reports for the past 6 years, if I'm not mistaken. And especially last year, and yeah, is it last year? Yeah, two consecutive years, I'm sure you were having... We were not having a board, and but you managed to also produce an unqualified audit report, and you continued with your innovations and your creativity in ensuring that you take NYCA to another level. Thank you very much, and I'm sure next month you will be having a board. So we are hoping that the new board that is going to be appointed by the president will be glad to work, will be happy to work with you and bring their innovations and their good ideas that they presented to us during the interview, so that we can see NYCA moving to another level. But you've been doing a great job. And I know for the fact that when this new board is being appointed, you will now have an opportunity to employ, to fill in those vacant positions in your executive. And thank you very much, CEO. Mr. Mkwana Tami, yeah, the CFO, wasn't it?
Yes, Chairperson, I am the Chief Financial
Officer. So you are a deserver when you look at the report now.
Thank you, Chair. I'll leave that comment.
Yeah, it is ever for the fact that there were no fruitless and unauthorized expenditures. It shows that you do things according to the book, and we are very proud of the performance of the NYCA. And thank you very much, honourable members. We've come to the end of our meeting. Today, you must watch us. We'll be presenting the report to the House. We are hopeful that our report is going to be adopted for the recommendations that we have made as the committee to the House, so that the President can be able now to sign those appointments. Remember, we did not shortlist seven candidates. We shortlisted 17 candidates. So the President will be using his prerogative in appointing those seven board members. But thank you very much, honourable members, and the CEO.
Yes. On a serious note, it's not a question or anything, but it's based on our committee and the administration of Parliament. I'm saying this because one day you'll end up not having any member in the committee. In terms of the new reconfiguration of portfolios, we can go nearly so I check for our committees not to clash, so that we must give full participation in the committee. We'll want to be part full time, but let them redo their rescheduling properly with other committees and check where we go, so that we must participate fully. We must not give you half of our attention, because when we started, even Umhlongo was in other committees, so we could see it will always be part of saying we'll join later or I'll leave early. Just like even myself, tomorrow I'll have to leave early for other committee. But we are just saying, we are pleading with yourself as the chair. Can the committee liaise with other committees, so that we must give you a full participation? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Piri. In fact, myself and the WIP, we have discussed that issue, because we saw that Honourable Shomo is being put in the Social Development Portfolio Committee. And when I looked at the program for Parliament, I saw that Social Development is sitting the same day we are sitting. So unfortunately, what needs to be done is our WIP will have to go and discuss this with the Chief Whip of because it's affecting only us, the ANC. It's not affecting the other parties. So it is our responsibility as the ANC to ensure that our members are part of the meetings. But Honourable Piri, it's being taken care of. Maybe even yourself, you need to inform our WIP on which other committees we are serving, if maybe it has changed. But for the extra meetings that we apply for, and when you are not available, you can forward your apology, because we're not sure who is the next person who will be our full-time member. Because I think now we are going to be short with one person. Because if you are still an alternate, they haven't made you a full-time member. That is how it is going to affect us. So we'll have to check all those things.
It has been amended to full-time. That's why I'm pleading, so that I must not miss meetings.
Okay, let's deal with it outside this meeting, so that we can see how far do we deal with this matter, because it's going to be a problem for us. If the changes are made like that, then we are going to have a problem. And we didn't receive the list. I don't know whether it's me only who didn't receive it. Maybe okay. Next one can...
We also did not receive it. That's why I think it's proper for us to check with
the 86 names on who exactly are the members. We'll do so, Chair, but we'll do it outside this meeting.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Thank you very much, okay. Honourable Member.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
I think you must give us support today when we are presenting our report for the NYDA. Remember, two things are presented today. It's the debate of the Women's Month, which will be the first item on the agenda, which I'm sure most of us will be in the in Parliament, in the House, so that all members who are debating are being supported by members of the Portfolio Committee inside the House. And then the next item will be the NYDA report, which also is us. So we are hoping that our members will be in the House so that our reports are being supported by us. The work that we are doing as the Portfolio Committee, we must always ensure that when it's presented to the House, you are all there. But thank you very much, Honourable Members. Even those who are not physically, we need to be present in the meeting because you'll have to log in on time, and please dress appropriate so that if it happens, your video is opened, we must not be embarrassed. But thank you very much, Honourable Members. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
When I'm at on your phone, I'll have to do the phone. Masondo.